everybody just has their head up and they don't think that I can pick that up.
I don't think my age difference is that bad. Like, me and my girl have, like, a...
Well, praise God. Are you ready for a word from the Lord tonight?
I'll give you a word from the Lord.
It's in the sound booth, boy. Are we recording?
Yes.
Yeah.
What the hell? Mouse. Bergen.
I was talking. I was like, six.
You need that back.
Praise God. We are glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
A word from the word. I've got a verse, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23.
I would
like to put it up, share a quick message with you. And this message started in my heart probably about 5 or 7 years ago. I just looked at this a little bit. The Lord took me in a different light on this. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, bring out that which would bring enlightenment, that which would bring change for the better in people's lives right now. Let it be a blessing to them. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Guard your heart, because out of your heart comes the... and out of your thoughts and your feelings and your desires come your choices and the direction of your life, the things that you do, the things that you don't do. And it starts in your heart, and that part of you where your thoughts and feelings and desires are. You know, Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 17, said, the heart is wicked above anything else. And he said, who can know it? And the gist of Jeremiah 17, where God says, I know your heart. I can try your heart. He's the only one that really understands our heart and what all these feelings mean at times. These things that come up in our life, and we sometimes embrace things that not long after we wish we would have never gone there. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. And what happened to me is the word guard, as I looked that word up in several different translations, it brought me to the book of Genesis chapter 2, where the Bible says that God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, to cultivate it and to guard it. And as I was in prayer one day, the Lord said, you know, Angelo, Adam and Eve were supposed to cast the serpent out of the garden. Now the serpent was the craftiest, most subtle. He was a player. And he played Adam and Eve. And sin entered into the DNA of man. And so started a whole bunch of events that have led us to this day. We're in a good place. But your heart is like a field. The word says this, a sower went out to sow. Some of that seed fell on good ground. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell among the thorns and choked the word. And it's very easy to see that parable of Jesus was a parable about a person's heart and how they take the word of God. How they receive it, how they open up to the word of God, what it means to them. Guard your thoughts and your feelings, your desires. And your heart is the place where those choices are made. And so that we won't get a broken heart. So that we won't get a sidetracked heart. How many people have been in relationships that God did not join together, that lost year after year after year after year? See, my Bible says this. And when somebody tells me they're going to do this or do that or hook up with this or that one, you know, I just usually sit by and watch it. Many times I have an idea that that's not of God. But I don't say nothing to them. People talk about you if you do that. But when I'm real sure, I'll just call people out and tell them, I believe this is of God. I believe that your relationship is of God. I believe God will bless it, and I believe if you'll stick with it and work at it, now no relationship between a man and a woman is easy. If you're in it for the long haul, Billy and I have been in it for the long haul since August the 10th, 1974. I think that's 47 years this year. So that you won't relapse. Guard your heart. Because see, if you make a bad heart decision, there's a trigger that's going to happen there. And that may make you to fall and fall. What's involved? What's the cost? Years of living in, how did I get here? How do I get away from here? And I think we've all made wrong choices. I know I have. And I'm not proud of them. And you have to learn how to get out of wrong choices. One of the things you have to be able to do is be quick to repent. And I know people that still haven't repented for some things. And if you won't repent, how can you go forward? You can't. Because it's a heart thing. It has to do with your heart. So that you won't be led the wrong way. See, if something sways you, as the devil beguiled Eve the wrong way. That's the problem. If you go the wrong way, and then how long are you going to go the wrong way? How long are you going to see when a person can say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Father, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Lead me to a better place. Lead me to the path I should be on right now. I pray that every day. I'm a man that's made mistakes. Don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for yourself because so are you. So that you won't be led the wrong way. You know, if you want, if you make a wrong choice about a profession, a school, a church where you're supposed to be. See, now the word says this, now God himself has placed each member in the body as it pleases him. And if you're going there because you think everything's hunky-dory and peachy-keen, that's why you're going to church, you're wrong. You'll soon be led away, see. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. Well, somebody came into the church, and I don't like that they came in, so now I'm not going back. See, why did you? See, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, those are the ones that will produce fruit. And the ones that are just not planted, those are the ones that will produce, I don't know what you would call it. I don't even want to think what I might call it under the right circumstances. So that you don't lose years of your life or end up in this chair. When I say this, you're going to relate. You end up in dead-end ventures. Dead-end. Things that didn't work out. Not only, see, that's not the bad part. It cost you. It cost you. Maybe a year. Maybe 10 years of your life. You know, there's a lot of divorce. Divorce is tempting. I understand why people get divorced. I know how hard it is to stay together. I know how hard it is. But you cannot let your heart be beguiled by whatever. Your heart is like a garden, like the Garden of Eden is what I'm saying. And God put Adam and Eve in there to dress it and keep it in the King James language. That means to cultivate it to the point that the ground produces fruit. See, God wants you to produce fruit in your life. If you abide in me, if my words abide in you, you're going to produce fruit. But what does that mean? You know, there's something about being in the will of God. It's satisfying. There's something about feeling like you're in the right job. You're in the right school. you're in the right relationship. By the way, God has a right relationship for everybody under the sound of my voice. God has someone for you if you're not married, that if you'll just wait on God. See, the word says that really the way I see it, a woman should just be prayed up and shouldn't be searching. The man, according to Solomon, should be searching. He that findeth a wife, see, he that's looked for and found the God kind of wife, the wife that God has for you, findeth a good thing and obtains favor from God. Your heart is like the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were placed to dress it and keep it, to cultivate it to the point that would produce wonderful fruit, and to guard it from the serpent and from things that should not, you know, there was things that should not be in the garden, is what I'm saying. And there's things that we should not let into our hearts. And we stop them by taking every thought captive. And David said, I'm not going to look at a woman lustfully. I'm not going to look at a maiden that way. Because it leads to what? That's enough in your heart. There are things that you can get into. We can think of more of them. That if you do, you're going to have to. And as we, just a moment, as we make an altar where we are in just a moment. And if we've made a mistake, if we've made a decision in our heart that is not right, it's high time that you don't avoid that. The word says, before you take communion, examine your heart. Say, God, is there something I should be talking to you about? Show me. If there's an error from a choice that you made, hold up to me. Confess it quietly to the Lord. It's only your business and God's business. It's no one else's business. And most of all, no one else can help you more than God to get on the right track. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Being on the right track? There are so many ways we can be on the wrong track. And some are more hurtful. Some are more costly than others. How many thousands, tens of thousands of love songs have been written about the heart? And it's like that's the biggest thing in the world to the American culture. Unless you're a Buddhist. Or a Buddhist in our country. They seem to be attacking them if you watch the news. It's terrible. I hate it. Buddhists are real nature. It's cool. But these songs, and some people, they hear a song and it puts them in a place in their heart. They remember a situation and it just bums them out. How many songs have been written? How many of those songs were accurate? How many of those songs were right? How many of them you reacted to correctly and ended up in the right situation? The heart is deceitful. At times the Lord says, you cannot understand it. I fully understand your heart. That's what the Lord said. The word of God, the words of eternal life that are spoken from this pulpit, when they hit you, you'll know it. You'll feel an affirmation in your heart that says, oh my gosh, that's exactly where I am. The only one that needs to know that is you and the Lord. If there's an area of your life tonight, well, you're not where you should be. You made a wrong turn. You zigged when you should have zagged. You just made a, you're, you've been beguiled somehow to make a wrong choice. Lord, what about purchases? Dear God, you can buy things. You're buying to pay a cash from this one. You're buying a credit card at 29% interest. And somehow we're not able to make that payment. All my life as a Christian, I've had a thing with finances. 5 months ago, I bought a new truck. Either later on this month or the month of June, I'm going to pay it off.
Great guy.
Because I try to relive on the spirit. It's good to toot your own horn. The hard part is saying, there's been times I thought I was going the right way, fell to answer. I just wasn't wrong. You know what? It's amazing how wonderful how God just disowned me. He said, son, that's okay. Let's get you on the right track. You know what? I want the Lord to say to you tonight, in your heart, son, daughter, child of the Most High God, it's okay. We're going to get you back on. You know that God can't do anything until you ask him. There are things God cannot do. Psalm 51:10 says, created me clean. Fixed my heart. My heart got messed up. Tonight, if there's somebody that needs to pray that prayer, then you will make your altar. Say that prayer. Jesus said, the good man, out of the good treasure in his heart, brings forth good things. And that's who we want to be. We want to be the good person. We want a heart. How did you get a heart like that? You say to God, God, you have a right to lead me in all thoughts and intents of my heart. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to say that as a prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, you have a right. Now listen, if that's not where you're at, please don't say this. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe and declare you have a right to judge my heart and to make sure I'm going the right way. So look at my heart, God, every day of my life. Help me to be the good man with the good treasure in my heart that you put there. Now, the word says, during communion, you know, communion is not a big, long thing. God gave me a revelation of communion many years ago. And it starts with coming to a place like this. Now, you can take communion in your own home with your husband or wife. You can take communion by yourself. Smith Wigglesworth, a faith teacher, preacher, he took it several times a day. Most Methodist brothers that started the Methodist revival, they took it every day. They took communion. But when we come together, we should examine our hearts, whatever you're going to take, and see and make sure that your heart is where it should be. We're talking about guarding our heart and inviting the Lord continually in our heart to help us make the right choices so we can get to the place of a beautiful place, a wealthy place. Amen? So there's one or two, I don't know if you've been here as we take communion. I would invite you to the front of this church, to the altar. Or, most people make an altar right where they are. It doesn't matter where you do that, wherever you're comfortable. I just personally like the old altar at our church. And examine your house. And if you cannot, of course, get down on your knees.